Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's episode, we have a special guest joining us to talk all about sexual health. September is Sexual Health Awareness Month, so I wanted to bring a guest on to talk a little bit more about disclosing your sexual health status and really communicating with your partner or potential partners. In this episode, we're talking all about her STARS method and how to use that in your relationships. Before we get into today's episode, I want to tell you about my Sexy Box. Sexy Box is the quarterly subscription box with all of the hottest intimacy enhancement products. This Sexy Box is valued at over $100 and it's yours for only $74.99. And trust me, usually they are worth way more than $100. Highly recommend getting yours right away. To get your Sexy Box, go to sexybox.jordandonnell.com. Link is in the bio. I also wanted to tell you about my new swag that is out. I have created some new shirts, Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators. Oh my, I masturbated today, manifesting dope shit, and it's just a vibe. There are some awesome new shirts out there that you will want to wear to represent and support the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast. So go to swag.jordandonnell.com to get yours today. Link will also be in the bio. Joining me today is Eveline Dacker. She is a doctor who is Latinx American sex positive integrative family medicine physician. She is active in creating a safe space for LGBTQIA youth and adults and helping people through illness, trauma, and life transitions towards finding balance and joy. She incorporates a multidisciplinary approach with principles of gratitude and pleasure to support her patients in creating their own wellness. In addition to practicing medicine, Eveline was the executive director of Sex Positive Portland from 2018 to 2020. She created the Safer Sex Communication Model, STARS, to help facilitate open and honest sex conversations. She is a consent and sex educator, sexual health activist, and TED Talk speaker. Dr. Eveline Dacker, would you like to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am a board-certified family physician that practices in Salem, Oregon. I have an integrative health primary care practice. I am also a sex-positive community leader and consent educator, as well as trying to develop a new paradigm for sexual health as to be integrated in whole person health. So that's a summary of it all.
I love that. And I met you through Courtney Bram. I found him on Facebook. Why are you so interested in sexual health and why is that your passion?
Great question. I have been studying integrative and holistic health since even medical school. I graduated medical school in 93. So for a long time, I've been really fascinated just by what else could we put in our toolbox other than what we're taught in Western medicine. So I've been through a lot of different trainings with Andrew Weil. I went through different holistic medicine. I've been board certified. And while I was getting my certification in functional medicine, which is looking at the underlying problems that causes illness and disease, I realized that not once did they ever talk about pleasure or sexuality. And I was in the midst of going through my own sexual rediscovery when I was like, oh my gosh, why is this not one of the things that we talk about when we're talking about holistic health? It kind of blew my mind that there was such a taboo around sexuality. So that got me started on this path of recognizing the importance of it, as well as the stigma around sexuality that makes it so difficult for healthcare providers and people in general to want to actually access this really important part of what it is to be human.
What is the STARS method that you have created and why is it beneficial?
So during a lot of the studies I was doing around sexuality, I realized that a lot of the sex positive communities have this way of checking in with each other. So this occurs in kink communities, in tantra communities, in sex positive communities, where they actually discuss their boundaries, their desires, their intentions of whatever play they want to do together. So they kind of created this container for themselves. And when I saw this happening, I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, why doesn't everybody know how to do this? Why don't we teach this? Why do people not understand how to communicate with one another beforehand? So I started teaching it to my patients. And I would write this out on a piece of paper, and there was like 7 or 8 points to try to teach them what to do. And I thought there has to be a better way of like communicating this. So I came up with an acronym called STARS. So STARS stands for your sexual health and STI status, your turn-ons, your avoids, your relationship intentions and expectations, and your safer sex etiquette that you need to create a safer sex container. By these 5 points, I realized that they're probably the most important 5 elements that we understand for ourselves. Like when I started actually teaching it to my patients, they were like, what? What does that mean? What are boundaries? What are boundaries? And I was like, isn't this amazing that in our mainstream culture and sex education, we don't actually teach things like that. We don't teach boundaries. We don't teach people how to discuss their intentions with one another or what they need after they have any kind of intimacy between themselves. And it's not just about sex. So people are like, oh my gosh, what if I'm not going to have sex? It's really about intimacy and how we create that connection in a way that's consensual and conscious. And actually, by talking about these 5 things in the beginning of a relationship, we actually learn how to communicate with one another in a way that's not as difficult later on. So that I came up with the STARS acronym to actually teach people in general the lessons that I learned through sex positivity and sex positive communities.
Now, in the sex positive community, how did you get involved in that?
I got involved in it because, again, like I remember I went to this annual functional medicine conference and I realized I looked at all the books that they were selling and there was not one book on sexuality. And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to change this. I need to like figure out how to incorporate sexuality into integrative and holistic health. So I started taking classes, and the place that I started taking classes was at this sex shop. It's a sex shop that is run by women and run by queer women. So it was a very positive, and they teach classes, and they taught classes on how to do things like how to give a blowjob, but also like how to communicate with a partner, or what are open relationships, or what are non-monogamous relationships. So I started really taking the classes because it was really easy just to show up and sit in the back of the room and absorb the information. And then I got involved with a community in Portland called Sex Positive Portland. And through that community, I learned boundaries. I learned what boundaries meant. And they started also talking about like how to communicate with one another. And that's kind of where I learned a lot of this information, and information that really goes a long ways to mainstream culture. And then I kind of dabbled in kink communities, trying to figure that out. I belonged to a tantra community, so I was trying to I just went and explored as many things as possible so that I could understand this information to bring it to my patients and to everybody else who may not want to go and explore those communities.
Yeah, and that's so important. And I find as well with my patients that they just don't have access to this information. They don't necessarily know how to find it. And they're coming to us as providers, as their safe place, their place to ask questions, and really turning to us to help set the foundation for their sex positive lifestyle. What do you find is most effective about your STARS method?
I think the most effective thing is that people start thinking about these things, you know, that people actually like, oh, I get a boundaries and I could tell somebody that I don't want this, or, oh, I could actually talk to a new person about what we want with each other rather than guessing or trying to manipulate them into wanting what I want. I think that is amazing. I also think it's really important to elevate the importance of sexual health for our whole health. We tend to put it aside and not even want to think about it. We tend to not want to discuss it. As healthcare providers, we're not taught how to discuss these things. And so we bring a lot of our own biases into that relationship with people. And of course, they come from a place that's hard to discuss. So when I talk about stars or I talk about sexual health, it really makes people realize that this is part of their body and it's such an important part of who they are as humans. I often, like when I talk about sexual health, I also don't talk about it as what you do with another person. I talk about it, what does that mean for yourself? And that's a really important distinction because a lot of people, when I say, so tell me a little bit about your relationship with your sexuality, they'll start telling me about all their partners or what happens. I'm like, wait, I want to know what your relationship is with your own sexuality. So stars kind of go, you know, dovetails into that in a way that it helps us recognize that these are important topics to understand for ourselves and also to communicate with other people. So it's like sex education, you know, 201.
Yeah, I know that I use the STARS method a lot. And my approach to it is I usually start with the intentions first because I find that so valuable.
For sure. And it depending, so I do workshops on stars and teach people. And in the workshops, we actually break people out and we practice it. And I often start with the R as well. It's less intimidating than going right into your STI status. And you want to know what you want with each other before you go into your personal history. But I call it stars because rats doesn't really go very well. Like, hey, do you want to do the rats talk? Doesn't really lend to a sexy time, right? So, and stars is, I like stars because it's also, it's like something to reach for. It's something to guide yourself with. It's something to look up to and be a beacon of direction. So I the acronym STARS works on so many levels. It also doesn't necessarily intimidate people because it's not, there's other acronyms out there for safer sex talk. And the couple that I've heard are pleasure, which I don't even remember what everything stands for, spread love, RBDSM, and spicy. Those are all the ones that I've heard in the past. They all, I don't know, STARS is just like, it's easy, it's not intimidating, it doesn't really tell you. You could just say, hey, do you want to do the STARS talk? Let's like communicate about things with one another.
Yeah. Now, when do you recommend having this STARS conversation with a partner? Right away? Like, when's the best time for this?
Anytime you do it is the best time. You know, there's a lot of different times. I have it regularly with my partner that I've been with for 5 years. We'll be like, hey, let's do a little check-in star talk. Like, where are we at? Like, what are our intentions right now? When was the last time we've been checked? So it's a good check-in anytime. But in terms of dating, I think that the best time is when you feel like you're ready to have a deeper intimate communication with someone. So for example, if you're just on a date and you could find out, oh, I like doing this and this and this, and then you're thinking, okay, I want to maybe get more intimate with this partner, that's the time to start doing it. I know some people, I've been like, oh, I don't want to be presumptive. I don't want them to think that I want to have sex. I'm like, but do you want to have sex? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, then if the person who you're talking to feels it's presumptive to talk about something you want to do, then maybe that's not a good match for you.
That is so true.
So there really isn't a bad time to do it. I have done it. I've been on Tinder dates and been like, hey, do you want to play a game? And I usually I usually play two games. I start with 20 questions. Guess what my job is? Because people usually won't think that I'm a physician. And then once that kind of got them more relaxed, then I'll be like, hey, let's play this STARS game. And this is like, let's talk about what we like and what we don't like and what our intentions want to be and all that. And so I've done it even before I knew I wanted to sleep with somebody. I've done it when I've been in relationships. There's so many different, I've done it through texts. I've done it through emails. I've done it with friends just to get us comfortable with doing it. So
I love that. And practice really makes perfect. The more opportunities you have to practice it, especially with like your friends or safe environments, will make it more comfortable when it comes to talking to a partner as well, or a potential partner.
Right, which is why I do workshops. I try to do one every quarter where people actually get broken out into breakout rooms and they actually practice it with each other.
Now, I'm asking, I know what you're going to tell me for this, but I'm curious what you say. Having the stars conversation when you're in the heat of the moment, what are your thoughts?
It's better than not having it at all. I mean, I have to say that there has been times when it's like, we've gone through some of it, but not all of it. And it's like, ooh, and I have stopped the heat of the moment to be like, hey, let's do a check-in. Usually at that point, the check-in has to do more with what are our safer sex etiquette here? What do we need to create a safer container? But sometimes for a lot of people, it might be like an STI talk, because that's really hard for a lot of people to do. For me, that's like the easiest part. But for most people, again, because sexual health is something we're not taught to do and we're not taught to think about, it's actually the hardest part to do. And also, I think that as many people who have had STIs realize, damn it, if I only knew about this beforehand, if somebody only taught me this talk and this acronym beforehand, it could have saved me a lot of heartache. I've had patients who I've taught and they come back to me and they're like, yeah, I went on a date. And he got really angry that I asked him his STI status. He was like, what do you think? I'm having sex with a lot of people. And I was like, okay, if they got angry about it, maybe that's not a good person to have sex with, right? And that kind of shows you something there.
Absolutely. And I know, like, for me, I have HSV. And I had never really had these conversations prior to my diagnosis. And now I choose to have this conversation regularly because it's important to me to share that information and then let my partner make their own decision. And it's hard having never done it and then all of a sudden needing to know how to have a conversation that I've never had. So it's been a learning curve.
For sure. It's a learning curve for everybody, even if you don't have a diagnosis. But you're right. Once you have something that you need to disclose, it takes a little bit to learn how to do that with grace. And that's why starting with the R is the perfect place to start.
Exactly. And that's what I find most comfortable is that if our intentions don't line up, then it's no need for me to share anything else if I'm not going to be intimate with them. Now, it is Sexual Health Awareness Month in September. That's when we're launching this episode. And I wanted to know, what tips do you have for people dating who have...
Well, let's talk about what STIs we're talking about, right? So there's the ones that you have that show up regularly, like genital herpes. There's the kind that you can have that go away with medication, like gonorrhea and chlamydia. And there's a kind that kind of linger that you may or may not know, like human papillomavirus. And then there's a chronic kind like HIV. So the most important part of if you're living or experiencing or have had an STI is to recognize that we all give each other a lot of things when we become intimate with one another. That we don't just pass along these viruses or bacteria, but we pass along emotions, we pass along baggage, we pass along experiences. And so the feeling, the stigma one has of getting an STI is usually because the only thing we're taught in is that you should not, and that maybe you got it because you did something wrong. And so living with an STI definitely brings that whole baggage of, oh my gosh, something about me is already wrong because of sexuality. So the most important part of recognizing and being an ongoing sexual human being is to realize that it's just one part of us. And some people have recurrent herpes zoster or shingles that is incredibly painful and is very similar to herpes simplex, but it occurs in different places. Sometimes it could occur genitally too, though. So again, it's all about the stigma that's attached to that diagnosis of sexually transmitted infections. I believe that like this diagnosis, the stigma is really because of the way that we have done prevention. When we're taught about STIs, we're taught that there's three things to prevent them. That abstinence is the number one way of preventing them, of course, because if you're not sexual, you're not going to have anything transmitted. The second one is monogamy. You should only be with one person for your lifespan. And the third is using condoms. And there really is no other thing that we talk about to help prevent this transmitted if we think about it like COVID, well, if you're having communication with somebody without a mask within 6 feet, then you could get COVID. And oh my gosh, there's so many people right now getting COVID that way. And do they feel shame? Maybe a little bit, but not really, because all we're doing is having communication and talking. So why is that so much less bad than like getting an STI? People die from COVID. They lose their sense of smell. It could be a really life-altering illness. But oh my gosh, you have herpes or human papillomavirus, and you feel horrible, and you live with that horrible feeling. So I honestly believe that like our whole method of teaching about STIs is flawed. It encourages stigma. It encourages people to feel marginalized. It doesn't take into account culture. It doesn't take into account resources. There's so many things that are lacking. It doesn't take into account one's own feelings with their sexuality. So I know this might be going off on a tangent, but I am really working and developing a whole new method of minimizing transmission for STIs that takes into account the fact that we're sexual human beings, that takes into account that sexuality is something sacred and pleasurable, that takes into account that sexuality actually connects us and encourages love. So if we take those things into account, how do we minimize STIs without stigmatizing and shaming people? So I've come up with three different ideas of doing it. The first one is becoming aware of your risk, having risk awareness, like becoming aware of what you tolerate in terms of risk. And that awareness is actually, you have to take into account like your own biology, your own hormonal status, your own overall health, what your friendship and what your relationships are with other people, your home environment, what did you learn from your parents around relationships and sexuality, your society, your culture around you, like, what do you live in? Are you Latinx and have a hard time being a woman asking or finding out? And there's like this machismo culture. So asking a person with a penis might feel very threatening. That's a really important thing to take into account. And then what resources do you have? Do you not have resources to healthcare? What was your sex ed like? And then what's going on in the world in general and how that global trauma feeds into all of it? So all of that goes into your risk awareness and your risk tolerance. So understanding that could be very key in the way you communicate with somebody else. So that's prong one, is risk awareness and understanding your risk tolerance. The second one is sexual networks. Instead of us thinking like everybody's going to have one partner for their lifespan, let's talk about what do our sexual networks look like? Are you someone who needs to get more testing because you have a lot of partners? Or are you a serial monogamist who hasn't been tested since your last partner? And or are you in a monogamous relationship, but you have extra external relationships with other people in that without disclosing? So like really understanding your sexual network. Again, thinking of it like a COVID bubble or your COVID circle. And then the third part is communication. And that's like the stars talk. If we actually taught people the stars talk, if people knew how to communicate their boundaries when their tests were done, what their desires and what they needed to feel in a safer container, I really believe those three things will go so much further to minimizing STI transmission than what we're taught by the CDC.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that. Are you working to get some of this information to adolescents and into like high schools?
In my fantasy life, yes. Right now, it's challenging, Jordan, because I am a full-time, I see patients. I am not a social media influencer. I'm not part of a big university. I'm not part of a teaching. I don't, you know, school and do research. Like I'm a grassroots, on the ground family physician, which means that I work with people every day. And so I write about this. Right now I'm writing, I'm developing an online STI course. I don't know who's going to see it or where it's going to be seen. I do my best, and I try to get this out there through doing podcasts and writing on Facebook. And it's my dream to teach this at college levels first. I think that that's the first approach. It's like my dream. I wrote STARS not just for my patients, but I actually wrote it for young adults. I wrote it for people from the age of 25 to 26. And it is my fantasy to get it out to college campuses. So if you know anybody who wants me to come and teach it in college campuses, either in person or virtually, I am so there. And hopefully with time, it'll get out there. I don't know.
Yeah, there's such a need. So I would love to see it in more places so that more people would have access to that information. And when it comes to like high schools and things, it's so hard because you have parents or the governing boards who don't want more information besides abstinence education there. So it's really not as easy as it seems, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's hard. And that's why I think colleges is a little easier approach. You don't have parents. You don't have parents telling you what you can and can't do or the fear of it. I definitely think that that's a big block, is the fear of sexuality, of people thinking that, oh my God, if my kids learn this, then they're going to want to go have sex. When really, it's almost like if your kids learn this, they'll take more responsibility over their bodies and make better decisions. And yes, they may want to go out and have sex too, but maybe they'll just do it in a better way. I don't know.
Right. And they'll be more empowered to make good decisions about their sexual health, about their bodies, and really move forward so that they're feeling comfortable with the decisions that they make. If the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you like it to be?
To not be scared of talking about sexuality, to recognize that it is this beautiful gift that connects us to our bodies. As a physician, I realize that so many of us just live in our head and we forget that we're actually connected to this body. And we just go see our doctors and our providers to help heal our bodies because we don't want to take responsibility for it. And sexuality is actually one of those forces that connects us into our bodies and gives us a certain level of pleasure that we can use to heal ourselves, that we can use to be our own medicine. Now, this doesn't work for everybody. For some people, like exercise is a real way of connecting into their body, and getting into that zone is how they do that. And that's great. But like exercise isn't for everybody either. So this is just one other thing that we can utilize. So not being so scared about talking about it and bringing it up and asking people what their relationship is and what their relationship to pleasure. As a provider, we deal so much with people with chronic pain, chronic illness, chronic depression, chronic whatever. How about if we change that to people dealing with like chronic pleasure and using this idea of like that pleasure and chronic pleasure is possible and it can help balance out the suffering. That pleasure and suffering could be two sides of a coin. And talking about that, especially as a healthcare provider, is super important.
Yeah, I think that healthcare providers play a huge role in everything. And more information for providers is even beneficial because we don't talk about a lot of this stuff at all in our schooling and in our education. Where can the listeners find you?
I am on Instagram at sexmeddoc. I'm on Facebook as Eveline Dacker. I'm a little bit more selective of people who follow me on Facebook, but you can always follow me even if you're not, if I don't friend you. And you can find me on my website, EvelineDacker.com. And then the starstalk.org is another place to talk, to get more information about the Stars Talk. I have some videos on YouTube on herpes and human papillomavirus of classes that I have taught.
And you have a TED Talk as well on the STARS method, correct?
Yes, and I have a TED Talk too.
Beautiful. Yes, I will put all of those links in the show notes so that the listeners can find you. And thank you so much for joining me today to have this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This episode is sponsored by Pure Romance by Jordan Jones, offering top bath and beauty products and relationship enhancement items. Check out the link in the bio to start shopping today. By shopping, you are supporting this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.